So this morning, I have great news for you. We have good news for Ollerton, but I have great news for the church. You want to hear some great news this morning? Well, the great news is this. You are destined for kingship. You are destined to be a king in God's coming kingdom. Amen? So this morning, turn to somebody and say, "Good morning, Your Majesty." So that should boost your self-esteem a little bit this morning. Okay, Your Majesty. Because it's true. You are destined to rule or to reign in life with Christ Jesus. To reign means kingly judicial rule. We will rule as a king does. People, you will be treated as a king is treated in God's coming kingdom. So you will live as a sovereign ruler over a territory. That's what to reign means. It means that you have sovereign rule over a territory. You are destined for dominion, for power, and for kingship. Now let's look at some scriptures, because you might say, "Mike, this isn't in the Bible." Well, it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, "To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations." Authority over territory. Authority over peoples. Isn't it worth going on the journey of overcoming? Because at the end of it all is kingship and dominion and power and authority. And then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, it says, "If any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? This is how highly the Lord's people should be regarded." Or he goes on to say, "Do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life?" I don't know if you ever came across these scriptures before, but the Bible is telling you that God's people will judge the world, not only the world, but God's people will judge angels. That is mind-blowing. That is truly awesome. The things that God has prepared for those who love him, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for you this morning. Amen? You know, we have so spiritualized God's heaven and God's coming kingdom that we haven't got a clue what it's about. But we have to look at the little snippets of information that we get from the Bible. And the Bible tells you that you will be a ruler in God's coming kingdom. So get ready to rule. You know, first of all, we have to rule our own lives. We have to rule our own families. We have to rule our own spirits. And if we can't rule our own lives and rule our families and rule our spirits and control ourselves, how are we going to be in a position to rule in God's coming kingdom? So there's a huge challenge for us this morning. A massive challenge, but a massive boost to your ego. Because when you think what God has destined you for, this is your destiny. Your destiny does not just lie in this life. Your destiny lies with God in eternity, in God's eternal kingdom. When that new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and you will be a ruler and a judge in that coming kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? Romans 5:17 says, "For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" So it's first of all based on receiving, not necessarily on doing, not on giving, not on praying. It's based on receiving God's abundant provision of grace and forgiveness and power and provision. Amen. Hallelujah. It's based on grace. God gives it to you. God destines you for it. It's your destiny. It's your future. It's what God has in His mind. He has planned it for you. And you know what? Because God is faithful, God will do it. It's based on God's faithfulness, not because you have been faithful, but because He is faithful. God is faithful to the blood covenant that He made with you through Jesus Christ. Amen? It's based on the blood covenant. God will not change His mind. And because of that blood covenant, because of that one sacrifice that was offered once and for all time, for all of your sins, for all of my sins, we are destined to rule and to reign with Christ in His eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. How much more, he says, will those who receive abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Wonderful. So there's a reception that we have to do, a receiving of God's abundant grace, but that doesn't mean to say that we can just then sit back on our laurels, because there is a developmental process then that we start to go through to prepare ourselves to be in that position to judge, to rule, and to reign. So we have to develop. From the time we are born again, we have to grow as Christians. And I want to just bring one aspect before us this morning that will guarantee that you grow and that will guarantee that you will come into a position of ruling. So do you want to know what this one thing is this morning? Would you like to know how you can actually grow into being a king in God's eternal kingdom? Come on, you've got to be hungry for this. You really want this? There is one thing. Okay, let me pass the basket around again. All right. I'm going to charge you for this morning. No, I'm not. There is one thing that you need in your life, and it's a little word called faithfulness. Faithfulness. Yeah? You need to be faithful in a number of areas. And I'm going to unpack that for you today and in some coming weeks as well. But you know, God values faithfulness very highly. He puts a high premium on your faithfulness and on your loyalty. He looks for what you are like on the inside rather than things on the outside, like your handsomeness, how good-looking you are, whether you've got a beautiful dress on this morning. He's not looking at that, okay? He's not looking at how much money you've got in your pocket or in your wallet or in your bank account, for that matter. That does not concern God, because the Bible says God chooses the lowly things of this life. Amen? So if you've got nothing in your bank account this morning, well, you're probably in good company, okay? But God loves you, and God has chosen you. And He doesn't look on your wealth or your education. And I could trot out for you this morning all the letters after my name. Did you know I have letters after my name? Yeah? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. You could trot out your education or your property, but God, that does not qualify you. That doesn't come into the equation. God looks at the heart, and He identified faithfulness. Let me give you an illustration. In the heart of Hudson Taylor, China Inland Mission. Let me tell you this story. It was a cold and stormy night in Birmingham, and the famous missionary, Hudson Taylor, was to speak at a meeting in a classroom. And his hostess, who organized the meeting, assured him that he needn't come because nobody would attend on such a stormy night. But Hudson Taylor insisted on going. He said, "I must go, even if there is no one but the doorkeeper." And as it turned out, less than a dozen people showed up, but the meeting was marked by an exceptional presence of God. Half of those present, they either became missionaries or they gave their children as missionaries. And the rest were faithful supporters of the China Inland Mission for years to come. Now, God identified something in the heart of Hudson Taylor. He identified something that he could use. And what he saw in that man's heart was a spirit of faithfulness. Faithfulness to the call of God on his life. It didn't matter how cold it was. It didn't matter if it was snowing. It didn't matter if anybody turned up, because the call of God was on his life. Hudson Taylor was faithful to respond to what God wanted him to do. You see, take this away today. You want to be a king. You want influence. You want success. So do I. We want these things. But nothing is achieved without faithfulness. Nothing is achieved without fidelity. I am told that the quality that is least found in businessmen and women today is keeping their word. They make promises all the time and they fail to keep their word. If you are a businessman here this morning, if you learn to keep your word, God will bless your business. If you make a promise to somebody, keep your promise. Keep your word, because it is a quality that is greatly lacking in our society today. And I know even as I'm speaking, some of you are thinking about politicians and maybe even muttering to somebody beside you about politicians. We need politicians who will keep their word, who will be honorable. So nothing is achieved without faithfulness. Four types of faithfulness I want to talk to you about over the coming weeks. Number one is faithfulness in little things. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that this morning. Then I'm going to talk about faithfulness in making, in living a sacrificial life. Faithfulness in, for example, meeting the needs of other people, even though you are in need yourself. Sacrifice. Faithfulness in relationships. Very important. Covenant relationships. Learning to be faithful in the ups and downs of relationships. And finally, faithfulness when you come into a position of ruling. If that's a ministry, being faithful. If you're given an area of responsibility, be faithful in that area of responsibility. If you're on the rota, be faithful to that area of responsibility. Do not take it lightly about stepping away from your position of responsibility, because God values loyalty and faithfulness and showing up very highly. Yeah, show up, step out, and keep moving on. Keep growing. Refuse to be a camper. Refuse to be a settler. Make sure you keep moving. Do not stop. Do not settle. Whatever area of life it may be, we all have a tendency to settle down because we want a quiet life. But God calls us to step up, step out, move on in the Christian faith. This morning, I wanted to just spend a little bit of time that I've got talking about being faithful in the little things. And as an example, let's draw on the life of David. David moved from being a shepherd boy at Bethlehem to being a king in Jerusalem. So he went through the process that you and I go through, only he did it thousands of years ago. He learned to move from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, where he reigned as a king. And he went through a developmental process. There is a developmental process in learning to be a man or a woman of influence, a man or a woman of kingly judicial rule. And at Bethlehem, David learned the basics. This is the very basis of ruling, coming to a position of reigning. Without it, you won't get anywhere in life. David at Bethlehem learned to be faithful in little things. God didn't just give him the kingship. God called him. And God calls a man or a woman years before they receive the position of kingship. I spent 14 years serving another man's vision. Whatever he asks me to do, just faithfully doing it. Giving up one area, moving to another. Whatever I was asked to do, I was faithful in doing it. If it meant taking down a brick wall, as we did, yeah? Running the small groups, the children's work, whatever. Whatever the man of God asked me to do, whatever he assigned me to do. He didn't ask me to volunteer. Moses did not ask the Israelites to volunteer. He didn't ask them and say, well, okay, what tribe is going to volunteer to do this? Who's going to volunteer to be the priests? No, Moses assigned tasks. He said, this tribe is going to do this, and that tribe is going to do that. So this destiny group is going to be on setup this Sunday, and that good destiny group is going to be on cleanup the following Sunday. It's an assignment, yeah? So we're not saying we're Moses, but we're saying the principle is laid down in Scripture, and it's not a principle of volunteering. We like people to volunteer. It's great when you do volunteer, but the principle is not volunteering. The principle is the principle of being assigned a task. Of course, there's a discussion, but there's an assignment. The principle is one of being assigned. And so David was assigned the task of looking after his father's sheep. And he did that faithfully. And it says in 1 Samuel 17:34, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep with a flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. So here was David. He wasn't issuing any commands as king. He wasn't leading any armies into battle. What was he doing? He was looking after his father's sheep. He was just looking after the natural things to do with the family. And whenever a problem arose, he dealt with it. A lion or a bear came, and what did he do? He killed the lion and the bear. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17 and 18, we find David obeying his father. His father gave him an assignment, so David obeyed his father. Now Jesse said to his son, take this ephah of roasted grain and, sorry, I'll start that again. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the, oh, I'd love that. I love cheese. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. He was given an assignment, and David obeyed his father's assignment. With God, obedience is number one. Obedience to what God tells you to do ranks very highly. And then David can be trusted because David left his things with the keeper of the supplies. He had been given certain things, certain responsibilities. And so instead of running off and leaving the things to fate or to chance, he actually made sure somebody else looked after his area of responsibility before he went. That's a great principle for us to learn, that we don't just drop things. It happens all the time in business. People just drop things. It happens sometimes in the church. People drop things. People don't turn up. People don't show up. But David showed that he had that spirit of attention to detail, which is very important. And as you look after the natural things of life, the little things, and as you learn to be obedient in the tasks that are assigned to you, then what happens? Well, what actually happens is your opportunities begin to grow. As you're faithful in the little things, God begins to put you in charge of greater things. But if we're not faithful in the little things, we're never going to move on. We're never going to grow. We're always going to be camped. We're always going to be settlers and never climbers. We're never going to be overcomers. So this morning, as you look after the little things, your opportunities will grow, just as David's did. Because David smote the lion and the bear, so he got to take on Goliath. He got to take on a bigger task. And because he defeated Goliath, he He got to take on the Philistines and he got to defeat all the enemies and he got eventually to rule and reign as king in Jerusalem. So there's a great lesson there for us. I want to talk, as I begin to round this up, about your yes, because what we learn from this is that your yes increases your effectiveness, it increases your influence, it increases the effectiveness of your mission, and increases the effectiveness of the church. If we learn to have a church full of people who are more than willing to say, yes, count me in, how can I be used, how can I help, then the church will grow in effectiveness and in influence in our society. And you too will grow in effectiveness. But if we just want to sit back and say no, then our effectiveness and our future will be neutralized. Every no is an act that neutralizes the effectiveness and the fruitfulness and the success and the influence of the church. The church grows and develops on lots of little yeses, and the church is neutralized and fails to grow and remains stagnant, and we remain settlers on the back of lots and lots of little no's. Yeah, there's always going to be the no. But wherever you have a church where the majority are yes men, and I don't just mean yes men, I mean men and women who say yes to God. God says jump, and we say how high. That church is destined for success. That church is destined to rule and to reign in our community. We are destined for influence. We have some influence already. People speak very well and highly of LifeSpring Church. But folks, we have only started. I want you to know this morning, this is only the beginning. Because no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man conceived what God has prepared for LifeSpring Church, or any other church for that matter. You see, a couple called Percy and Florence Arrowsmith. In 2005, they entered the Guinness Book of Records for the longest marriage. They had been married for 80 years, and between them, they had 205 years. Okay? Fantastic. 80 years married. And so they were asked by the local newspaper, what was the secret of their longevity? What was the secret of their success in marriage? And of course, Mrs. Arrowsmith said, well, the thing that I have learned, she said, in those 80 years, is never to go to bed bad friends. That's scriptural, isn't it? Let not the sun go down on your anger. But Percy had a much shorter answer. And he said, the secret, as far as he was concerned, was two little words. Yes, dear. There is great power in a yes. There is great influence in a yes. There is peace in a yes. There is growth in a yes. There is influence in a yes. There is kingly rule, kingly judicial rule in your life on the back of your yeses. Is there anybody here this morning who needs to say yes to Jesus? Maybe for the very first time, you've never said yes to Jesus. That's where it all starts. It's a yes to Jesus. Yes to his grace. Yes to his love. You've never seen it before, but you see the love of God here this morning. You know, the grace of God is for you. This message is for you. It's like right now as if God is just talking to you and nobody else around you. God has chosen you for his eternal kingdom. And maybe you haven't made much of your life so far, but I want to tell you, God has a great, awesome, wonderful plan for your future. So, church is built on hundreds and thousands of little yeses. Our campaign to reach the people of Ollerton, Good News for Ollerton, is based on your yeses. Our influence on that day, our effectiveness on that day, will be based on your yeses or your no's. Whatever you decide to do, it's in your hands. It's in our hands. The future of our church is actually in our hands. Every yes, every little thing, every little act of faithfulness is not just for us. We're not doing it because one day we're going to be spiritual kings. We're not doing it for that. We're actually doing it for the least, the lost and the least of our community and of our society. Because that's what yes does. That's what your yes to little things, to natural things actually does. The natural comes before the spiritual. And if we don't get the yeses in the natural right, we're never going to experience the great spiritual breakthrough that our church is looking for and that one day we are going to receive. But it's based on faithfulness in natural things. Faithfulness in standing at the door. You may have no upfront ministry when you come into this church. You may not be on the worship team. We may not have given you a microphone yet. You may just be making the tea or the coffee. But whatever it is, the future destiny of our church is based on you accepting the assignment and saying yes to the assignment that God gives you. You see, that's why I titled my message today. I titled it, Faithful in Little for the Sake of the Little or the Least. Wonderful, wonderful thought that God wants you to say yes to the little things. Hudson Taylor's wife, they experienced huge opposition to their mission, mainly from other Christians. Happens, doesn't it? They experienced lots of opposition and criticism from other Christians. And she said that what they had learned in all of that opposition was to get on with the Lord's work, to get on with the Lord's work and leave their vindication to God. Get on with the Lord's work and leave your vindication to God. So that's what God is asking us to do as a church, is get on. Let's get on with it, with the Lord's work. Let's not be distracted by anything else, but let's focus on what God wants us to do. So let's do it for the sake of the little.